Sports commentator Sam Ackerman with us now. Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora, how are you?
I'm well. Let's start with cricket. And so much, I guess there's a big void there, so we fill it by some speculation. What do you make of this story about Kane Williamson's future as captain of all three forms of the game?
It feels very familiar, Lynn. It feels, for anyone who kind of paid strong attention to the power struggle that became the Ross Taylor versus Brendan McCullum drama of many years ago. But this one doesn't seem to ring quite as true, because there was some that questioned the leadership of Ross Taylor, and Brendan McCullum did have very strong claims to be the man into that role, whereas the discussion is about putting Tom Latham, a fine batsman and a man who can be a great cricketer down the line, but he's certainly not in the ilk of Kane Williamson. And the reason for that is there's potentially no one in the history of New Zealand at the ilk of Kane Williamson. He's considered to be potentially the best player to ever play for New Zealand by the end of his career. Some would argue that he's almost there already with the way he plays the game. His skill level is phenomenal. The talk really came out of Gary Stead. The coach has apparently been speaking about this behind the scenes. It has been shut down by New Zealand Cricket. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, and you'd hope not. I want to know what the benefit is. What is the good thing about taking the captaincy off Kane Williamson? What stands to gain? Does his game suffer by the captaincy? The stats say no. He scores more runs. His average is higher as captain at test level than otherwise. The one thing we do know, and Kane Williamson, for all his incredible skills, all his incredible attributes, isn't a massive fan of the off-field burden that captaincy can bring, and that is social appearances, having to deal with the media on a very regular basis. Not that he doesn't hate it or have a major aversion, it's just not his bag. He's not someone that craves that kind of limelight. So I can see there be a potential use of a vice captain in that role a little bit more. But I don't think it'd be a great PR move to take Kane Williamson, the most respected and potentially the most loved member of the Black Caps team, out of the captaincy if he's not wanting to give it up. There's no reason right now to think that that should be the case.
So he's the person that New Zealand cricket should be listening to.
Absolutely.
Think yeah.
Without question, whose legacy will matter more to this sport and to the fans in this country, all the world even? Kane Williamson or Gary Stead? It's not even a conversation. Gary Stead's an important figurehead within this team, but Kane Williamson is the captain on the field, and if he's not the captain on the field, he's the most important player on the field with his ability to change a game, steer a ship, and be that anchor for this team with his incredible skill set. So I don't feel that this is a conversation that Gary Stead should be trying to push for. If he is, it is, again, as I said, been kind of shot down. And you mentioned before, this void of actual action allows for these things to take flight. But, man, Kane Williamson should be able to write his own ticket. And quite frankly, New Zealand cricket are too smart to do anything but.
Right, basketball. The New Zealand National Basketball League, they're pivoting away like crazy by the look of things.
Yeah, so they are doing everything they can to be up and running, and they will be in June as well. It's going to be a condensed season, all played in Auckland. So all the teams moving to Auckland. There's a bunch of new teams, like there's a Rodney team, there's an Auckland team. All irrelevant because they're representing a region that they're not going to go play in during this. So they could all be from central Auckland for the sake of it. But they are missing some major teams. That is the Wellington Saints, who went through the entire season undefeated last year. They are, you know, if you ask most people involved in basketball, Wellington Saints are the team, the top of the tree. And there's also the Hawke's Bay Hawks and Southland Sharks. So that's potentially the top three teams not taking part, because I don't think it's putting the player welfare first. So this is taking all these players, putting them into camp, away from, you know, their other work and whatnot. It's quite an intensive little performance they're going to go through to get the entire season done in that short period of time. But they're trying to do everything they can to keep the game afloat. Now, they consider this to be not in the best interest. So in a squad of 10, the reports are that the seven players were paid between either $1,000 and $7,500 for the tournament. Three players, apparently, aren't going to get paid. So it's a pretty tough situation to dedicate that amount of time to. And these other franchises have said, listen, we're not going to do that to the players. We're not going to be involved in doing that. There'll be a substantial player draft going on where players will be moved between teams. Again, not that big a deal because they're not being asked to move cities. They're all be playing in that local area. And not to mention as well, the lead-in time, the practice, physical training will only start a matter of days before the tournament starts. So some very real issues for New Zealand basketball to confront, and missing those teams is definitely going to water it down. It's a watch this space of where they go from here.
Have you been excited following Beauden Barrett's fitness results, Sam?
How exciting is that? I mean, you know there's a pandemic when the headline act is Beauden Barrett has got a 4:12 record on the Bronco test. Now, if you don't know what the Bronco test is, congratulations, you're part of the larger society. And if you do know what the Bronco test is, then you may be impressed by it, but it's probably not the most important thing you need to know within the realm of sport. And if it is, I truly feel sorry for you. The Bronco is when you do a range of sprints. I think it's 20, 40, and 60 in succession. So it's how fast you can do it. And Beauden Barrett's time, after having this huge break away from the sport that many people, including me, felt was excessively long, is wonderful. He's great. He's in fit and it's in shape and it's worth mentioning. But we suddenly start comparing the Bronco times of legendaries from the past and whatnot. It feels the most common and most direct example of we really need some actual sport to be going on here if this is starting to creep into the headlines.
So are you encouraged by how the Mitre 10 Cup is shaping up?
Vaguely. A lot of posturing
vaguely
going on.
Damned by frank praise.
I love that we're getting there. The Mitre 10 Cup will be more important this year than many others. But my concern with it is that if they're not getting it right, like with every competition they're doing right now, I don't know if it's worth getting knickers in a twist until we know what's happening. We're hearing some unions saying it's not going to be financially viable for them. They don't know they can go through with it. It all depends on the decisions being made by New Zealand Rugby and the Players Association about how much of a pay cut the players are going to take. Those conversations are being played out now in public by some franchises intimating that they won't be able to make it. This is just a posturing position from them right now. They need to look tough, stand tough to try and make a point. If they'll know already whether they can make it or not, and New Zealand Rugby is certainly not going to allow for a competition to be completely watered down by having half the teams fail to show up. So it'll happen, it'll get there. Right now, I'm just not sure who stands to win from the kind of the playing it out in public. I'm pretty sure that the franchises who have mentioned things out in public are trying to make sure that they are putting the pressure on to have the results of the financial situation go their way. The others, there are some, though, who have said that they are filthy that this has come out in public and that whoever's speaking is not speaking on behalf of the franchises. So it's messy. All sporting codes have found themselves in this situation over the past couple of years in some shape or form, but it's becoming, unfortunately, Lynn, all too common at the moment. Bring on the Mitre 10 Cup. It'll be wonderful after Super Rugby Aotearoa, but that is there's still quite a few hurdles to jump first.
We should catch up with Rugby League, which has been the lifeline, hasn't it, for sports reporters all over the country during lockdown, but a bit of a soap opera.
Yeah, a bit of a soap opera for the Warriors. It's not the young and the restless, it's the young and the injured. Most of their players are dropping like flies at the moment. They're all, if you're not aware, they've moved over to Australia now, where they'll be based for the foreseeable future. The entire competition played out of there. The Warriors won't be coming to and from. A group of their players over the space of about a week, I think it's about three or four of them, dropped out for some of them potentially season-ending, other ones 2 or 3 weeks. But a lot of them are happening in the position of prop forward. That's not a position you can just go, hey, anyone, have a run at, because you need to be a big bopper, you need to have a specialised skill set, and it's a difficult one to back up. So the NRL have so far, to this stage, refused the Warriors the opportunity to have loan players, and how they can get players in and out isn't particularly easy. So they're looking at ways of signing players who are either free agents or, if there are to be loans, on how they can make that happen. Even seeing, Lynn, some of the retired greats of the game, Paul Gallen, who won a premiership with the Sharks and the New South Wales State of Origin captain, he said, look, these guys are doing so much to keep our game afloat. I'd consider coming given the few games. Sam Thaiday, who played for the Broncos and Australia as well as Gallen, he said he reckons he's got a couple of games in if they need him. And Billy Slater, one of the great fullbacks of all time, has put his hand up, though we are very well covered in the Warriors' ranks with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck there. But the point is, everybody's putting their hand up to want to help. So far, the NRL are the only ones who aren't letting them. So watch the space. The season starts a week yesterday. So countdown is on. Warriors' first game is on the 30th. So hopefully they've got enough fresh bodies at prop forward line to keep themselves afloat.
And just to wrap this up, a lesson from Korea. If you're wanting to have people in the audience, well, you know, the feeling of people in the audience, because sports people feel a bit sad performing to empty seats, don't do what they did in the K-League in Korea, hey?
Yeah, no, I can see what they were trying to do. This is FC Seoul. They were the first, one of the first professional leagues to come back at the start of May, and you know, certainly in football circles, one of the first to get going. They've had huge viewerships. FC Seoul decided they wanted to give something that looked like a little bit of a crowd, and I suppose maybe it was just for the TV side of things as well, some cutaway shots of the crowd, and they used mannequins. Unfortunately, they thought they were mannequins. Turns out they were those real-life sex dolls that were being used, dressed up in jerseys with masks on, but apparently clearly identifiable by some branding that was attached to some of the signs. Not the best look, and I think I'm prepared to cut them a bit of slack. This is probably a mistake made, not intentionally, more of a just kind of, they heard that they could get some mannequins in, heard there's a good price, and somebody would cut them a deal, and we understand now why that person cut them a deal. They've been fined $130K and been given a very fair reminder that if you're going to go for a publicity stunt, just make sure you check the merchandise first.
Always good advice. Thank you, Sam. Sam Ackerman, our sports correspondent, back with us in a week's time.